Join me in Matthew chapter 20, please. We continue our walk through Matthew's gospel. I'll begin reading at verse 17 through the end of the chapter. Please hear the inerrant, inspired word of the living God. And as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside, and on the way he said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified, and he will be raised on the third day." Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came up to him with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked him for something. And he said to her, "What do you want?" She said to him, "Say that these two sons of mine are to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom." Jesus answered, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink?" They said to him, "We are able." He said to them, "You will drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and at my left hand is not mine to grant, but it is for those whom it has been prepared by my Father." And when the 10 heard this, they were indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that the ruler of the Gentiles lorded over them, and their greater ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And as they went out of Jericho, a great crowd followed him. And behold, there were two blind men sitting by the roadside. And when they heard that Jesus was passing by, they cried out, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." The crowd rebuked them, telling them to be silent. But they cried out all the more, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." And stopping, Jesus called to them and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Lord, let our eyes be opened." And Jesus, in pity, touched their eyes, and immediately they recovered their sight and followed him. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let me remind you of verse 16 of the passage we covered 2 weeks ago, a simple statement with great meaning. Verse 16 of Matthew 20 says, "So let the last be first, and the first last." The remaining chapter that I've just read to you is a fulfillment of the teaching of that same passage. So let the last be first and the first be last. And here Jesus to give illustration, if you will, of that teaching, which was so hard for these to understand, he gives three illustrations of present day events of his teaching that he is trying to bring to the people to say that the Christian life, the kingdom of heaven, is going to be the last first, and the first last. His first illustration is himself. Once again, here in verse 17 through 19, he says that the Son of Man will be delivered up to the scribes and the Pharisees, and he will be killed. So you might ask, how is this an illustration of the first being last and vice versa? Well, I hope it's easy to see that the Lord Jesus Christ, the firstborn among many, the Son of God Himself, the first of all, is giving Himself to nothing. He's giving Himself also to the cross. Remember how humiliating and lowly the position of the cross was in the Roman culture. It was the greatest humiliating way to end one's life. And so Jesus Christ here saying, "I am the Son of Man. But as I've said, the first will be last, and the last will be first. And here I am giving myself as that illustration, as that act of humility." Paul teaches in the book of Philippians this great teaching of humility. Jesus Christ thought himself of nothing, and yet he took himself to that cross, the first being last. Jesus is teaching his disciples and teaching us here. And then the second one. We know the disciples are slow in their pickup of what Jesus is teaching them. Here is the mother of the sons of Zebedee, James and John's mother. And she's asking for them to be able to sit at his right hand and sit at his left hand in this kingdom that he is pronouncing. We have to commend her for one degree. She realizes the coming of the kingdom and that he will be the head of that kingdom. But she just hasn't heard yet the message of humility associated with that kingdom. And so she asked, "Let my sons be great. Let my sons be great in your kingdom." One commentator writes, "Pride is a sin that most easily besets us. It is sinful ambition to outdo others in pomp and grandeur. Nothing makes more mischief among brethren than the desire of greatness." How did the other 10 disciples respond to these gentlemen who wanted to sit at our Lord's right hand? The text tells us they were indignant. Jesus asked the question, "Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink?" An Old Testament allusion here. It basically means, are you able to fully undergo the experience I am experiencing along with all of its consequences? Are you able to take hold of that cup? Are you able to take hold of that position? The question could be for us as well. Are you able to take the cup that Jesus Christ has taken? Are you able to take that cup of humiliation, of degradation, of sacrifice, of pain, of giving all, and the consequences that follows it? Are you able to take that? Am I able to fulfill that? We look around the world today and we see our brothers and sisters taking this very step. Can you imagine the Christian parents in Syria? As the children are taken outside and beheaded? Are you willing? Could you? Jesus says to these 10, yes, you will take the cup. You will take the sacrifice. And you will take all of its consequences. A bit of prophecy here from our Lord. Because if we look at historical accounts, every disciple that he's speaking to right now, save one, died a very horrible death. Died a very horrible death. Martyrdom. Sacrifice. Torture. Being thrown from the roof of the temple. Being beaten with clubs. Being run through with spears repeatedly. Hung on crosses. They were all taking the cup that the Lord Jesus said, you will. Save the Apostle John, of course. He had his stay on the island of Patmos and then returned to be the pastor of the church of Ephesus for a long time and died of old age. But here the mother of the James and John did not hear the teaching of our Lord of humility. Do not ask me to be great, because that is only the leading of sin. That is only the leading of your pride. I think I've told you the story of my arrogance. When I was working for Duke Energy, they were making out the organizational chart for the work in Alabama. And I was a part of the maintenance training program. I was going to teach the whole place how to operate that thing. I said, I don't care, just give me a title somewhere. How arrogant. Are we striving for greatness? Do we feel that we've only accomplished if someone recognizes it? As I said of the deacons here a few moments ago, they do so much work that you will never see. That's their job. Humility. Do we come into the room and expect everybody to know that I'm here? Or do you sit at the back and wait to be seen? Jesus says, the ruler of the Gentiles lorded over them, and their great ones exercised authority. He's referring to the Roman culture, of course, and how the Caesars and the pontiffs and all who held their position held it with great, great tyranny. And they gained the respect of the people through beatings and floggings and taxations and punishment and the horribleness of the tyranny that was their rule of government. But Jesus says, no, those who were first will be last. And those who are last will be first. Humility. Humility. Then there's one final illustration that many commentators do not include in this passage or with this line of thinking, but I think it fits well. The two blind beggars. Please notice their position. Verse 29, as Jesus was going out of Jericho, a great crowd following him, behold, the two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and they cried out, Lord, save us, Son of Man, save us, Son of David. And what did the crowds do? Much like the children, rebuked them, hush, go away. But here Jesus is again exemplifying his teaching. Here is the last person you think Jesus would give attention to. Here's the last person that the crowds wanted to know were even in existence. These two blind beggars. And in his recognition of them, not only did he have the perform the miracle of touching their eyes and they see again, what beauty is that? But here, the Son of Man, the first of all, who himself would be humiliated, but yet in his position as God and Lord, went to the lowliest of lows and touched them and healed them, giving them a place of prominence. The last will be first. The last will be first. The first will be last. A blind beggar, certainly a lowly, deplorable position. The crowd tells them to be quiet, but in their faithful persistence. And that is why I tied this passage with the ones I've read previously. Yes, it's a sign of Jesus taking this lowly one and bringing him to prominence, but also there's another aspect of Christianity here that must be known that runs in conjunction with humility. And it is faith. Faith. I entitled the sermon today, Humility Coupled with Great Faith. You see, humility can be risky. If I'm always giving up, if I'm always giving away in our culture, I will be taken advantage of. But if I couple faith with that humility, knowing that God will care for me as I need, I have no or need no dependence on others and their recognition. So here, humility coupled with faith is the two sides of the coin of Christianity, if you will. Yes, we are to be humble people. We are to be those who think less of ourselves than our neighbors. We are to give up all for those who are in need and place others before ourselves. But does that not leave me out in the cold? No. Because along with that, I have the faith that the Lord God has called me here to this place. And when He has called me here to this place, He will make every provision necessary for the ministry, the life, the role, the place I've been called. When I graduated seminary, thankfully I had a call before I graduated. Praise the Lord. Thank you all very much. But the other guys in class, they would ask, where are you going? What are you going to do? I said, I don't know. But I'm not concerned. Because God did not take me out of what He took me out of, put me in the place where He put me and trained me for 4 years to go stand in a field or to go do something else. He trained me to be a pastor. So I knew that role would be there. I didn't know where, but I knew it would be. I had no doubt. That kind of confidence in faith is what takes us through these times when our humility is necessary. But that humility may require great sacrifice. That humility may require great loss from me for a period of time. The great loss for me, I believe, quite clearly, was the passing of my daughter. God used that at the time in which it happened to substantiate this ministry. To put a foundation under that. And gave Judy and myself, along with this church, the strength and tenacity and fortitude to say, yes, Lord, what will you have from us now? Humility. What does God ask of you? What sacrifice has He asked of you? What place of humility has He asked from you? And do you have the faith to undergird that place and that role, that capacity? We shouldn't desire to sit at the right hand or left hand of our Lord. As I said 2 weeks ago, I'll be holding the door and Billy Graham's taking out the trash. That's fine. That's fine. I'm in heaven. Yes, our Lord calls for humility. That's our act. That's our responsibility. We are strengthened by the Holy Spirit to do that, but that's our work. But faith, that is a gift. That is a gift that we learn the strength of by using. By using. Step out. Step out in faith. And take that place of humble sacrifice. Let's pray together. Father, this is a challenging message. It's easy to say the humility and being humble. It's easy to say that, yes, I can, but Lord, there are times my prideful arrogance, I want to be recognized. I want to be known. I want somebody to come and say, Tim, you did a good job. Lord, forgive me. And forgive us. But Lord, this requires your strength. Let us have the faith of these beggars and cry out loudly, oh Lord, save me. Lord, give me strength. And let us be in that place of humble sacrifice and depend strongly upon our great faith. In Jesus' holy name, amen. And amen.